good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this 12th day of August, 25. And Jim Dozer Adams in with us again on this Tuesday. And Jim, hey, I'm seeing some rain in the forecast. Only 30s and 40% chances, but...
Well, good morning, and maybe we'll get some.
I hope so, because I tell you what, my yard's pretty crunchy.
My yard right now needs harvesting.
It's
one of these things where it's just about that I need to mow it, but I hold off another day, and all of a sudden, spring, you know, it's...
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, yeah.
There you go. Jim, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm celebrating my daughter's birthday today.
Oh, really?
She's years old today.
I like how you put that because you never post letting anybody know what a woman's birth, how old they are.
That is true. My mother used to have no secret about how old she was, and it made her younger sister mad because everybody knew there was about 3 years between them, and Reba didn't want anybody to know how old she was.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, okay, got one for you.
All right.
Okay. This is in Beaverton, Oregon.
Okay.
There's a school called the Aloha High School.
Mm-hmm.
And they had as their logo was the first king of Hawaii, Kamehameha.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Really?
Yeah. You'd think if it's named Aloha, King Kamehameha would be a good, you know, logo for him.
Yeah.
No, that's considered inappropriate.
Uh-oh.
And it's a silhouette kind of thing. I'll hold a picture up to the microphone. You can see it there.
Oh, yeah. It looks good.
Yeah. but the school's going to keep, they call the Warriors. They're going to not be allowed to say that. I'm going to have a new symbol, which is going to be a wolf.
Okay.
Wolf warrior. Not King Kamehameha. Aloha High School. Mm. Anyway, Oregon has prohibited public schools from using Native American mascots and team names unless they reach an agreement with the federally recognized tribes across the state. That's been the case since July of 17. Well, so King Kamehameha is technically a Native American since, you know, Kauai is now a state.
Sure, sure.
So suddenly he goes from king of a nation, you know, into a Native American. So you got to go, they don't have, you get the Native Hawaiians and all like that to agree to it. The mascot depicted the first king instead of a Native American figure. Warriors is permitted as long as it isn't combined with imagery associated with American tribes. Aloha High School revealed that several people had raised an issue with its branding. How many?
Yeah, how many?
One, two, three?
Yeah.
Anyway, they had a committee formed to replace Kamehameha. Another problem with the king is his, ready, specific gender.
Oh.
It doesn't say ruler. It says king.
Ooh.
And quoting them here. In the Beaverton School District and at Aloha High School, we believe that all students belong. We are committed to ensuring that all aspects of our school culture reflect this inclusivity, including our mascot. As a district, we are moving away from school mascots that depict human figures or specific genders, as these types of mascots do not connect or represent all students. So they're going to go from King Kamehameha to a wolf.
Yeah.
But they don't tell the gender of the wolf. I guess you're supposed to guess.
Yeah, what's the gender of the wolf? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now let's see, Jim. Let me think. Is it Washington? No, this is NFL. They're
Redskins.
They're trying to go back to the Redskins, right?
Now look at that. That was, if I remember correctly, that was the logo that was designed by a Blackfoot chief to depict a Blackfoot chief with the approval of the Blackfoot Nation.
Yes.
But hypersensitive liberal white people says, "Oh no, that's offensive. Uh-huh. Who are you offending?"
Who are you offending?
The tribe liked it.
Yeah, so leave it alone.
And you say, oh, no, you just think you like it. You're really offended. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, you know, well, it's like the Indians. I mean, you know, I just don't understand. I mean, you know, it's been that way. It was that way for many, many years, and nobody ever complained about it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you got.
Well, we got people who are professional complainers. They got to find something to complain about. Something that you're doing to complain about that you need to fix.
And the thing is, Jim, it's like what you just said. Two or three people can be the uproar of it all. Yeah. Just two or three people. It don't take a whole bunch. Just two or three to say, hey, I don't like that.
Yeah. You know? Let me give you something you will like.
Okay.
This is some good stuff. I'm not going to read this whole article because it's a whole lot of it. But basically, let's see. Okay, there we go. Not so bad. Doctors down in Georgia have done a rare surgery on a preborn baby girl. An ultrasound revealed a growth under her tongue that was pressing against the back of her throat, creating a life-threatening obstruction to her airway. Mm-hmm. Reagan and Josh Bernard's little preborn daughter had this growth. Doctors were afraid that she wouldn't be able to breathe after she was born because mm-hmm. of the prison. Mm-hmm. So they proposed a rare procedure. It involved partially delivering Charlotte, baby Charlotte, inserting a breathing tube so she could be given oxygen when she was born. The procedure was successful. Charlotte is doing well, and they'll have a future surgery after she's she grows a bit more to get the thing out. But they call the exit procedure, ex utero impartum treatment. We'll just go with exit. It's mm-hmm. rare, complex, but and then in some cases the baby is replaced into the uterus after the procedure is complete, and then they're going to take it out. So, you know, it's amazing what we're doing. This is a preborn child. Yeah. You may remember the picture they had some years back. They had to do some surgery on an unborn child, and they went through the abdomen, mm-hmm. and the little child hand reached out and grasped the finger of the surgeon.
Yes, I remember that.
Remember that thing. So
I remember that.
They're taking care of these little babies. They give some details on the procedure. We don't need to go through that, but they had a dry run with a fake patient and a fake thing to go through to make sure everybody mm-hmm. had everything squared away.
Yeah.
And she's going to get some given. After her birth, she was given medication to reduce the size of the growth, stayed in NICU, neonatal intensive care unit for 2 weeks, and they're going to remove the rest of the growth in a few months. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, she's a normal baby. You know, babies are babies.
Yeah.
If they're in the room or elsewhere.
That's right.
So we got some stupid news and some good news so far today.
At Missionary Radio, every song, every scripture, every word of encouragement you hear is made possible by you. We're not funded by commercials. There's no big corporation writing checks. It's friends like you, listeners who love Jesus and want others to know Him, who keep this ministry going. Right now, giving is down, and our next Carathon isn't until October, but the need is real today. If this station has blessed your life, if it's helped you through a tough day, drawn you closer to Christ, or filled your home with peace, would you prayerfully consider stepping in right now? You're not just giving to a station. You're giving so hope can be heard 24 hours a day. Go to missionary.radio, click on donate, or mail your gift to P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Missionary Radio, sharing the love of Jesus because He's worth it.
Welcome back to the front porch on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday morning. 73 right now, Jim. It's going to be pretty mm-hmm. nice. Warm a little bit later on, about 91.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all right. At least the heat index is not high. So
that'd be pretty damn good. Anyway, last Friday, there was a lot of celebration about the Emancipation Proclamation.
Okay.
Talked about that. So I've got a copy of the Emancipation Proclamation, and I'm going to read that. It's kind of flowery language, so I'll kind of summarize a little bit, because most folks have not read it, and they don't know what it really says and really does. Now, first place, mm-hmm. it was sort of like if Canada would come down and say that, you know, everybody in the United States has to buy a red car.
Okay.
And we would tell Canada to go fly a kite, because
yes.
one country can't tell another country to do something. But mm-hmm. at the time the proclamation was issued, the secessionist states, Confederate states, considered themselves a separate nation.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't pay much attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some aspects of it that are kind of interesting. And so anyway, let's just start with that. It's very flowery language, and people used to write and talk like this. A proclamation by the President of the United States of America. Whereas on the 22nd day of September in the year of our Lord, 1862, a proclamation was issued by the President of the United States containing, among other things, the following. To wit, that on the first day of January in the year of our Lord, 1863, all persons held as slaves within any state or designated part of a state, the people whereof shall be in rebellion against the United States, shall be then, thenceforward, and forever free. And the executive government of the United States, including the military and naval authority thereof, will recognize and maintain the freedom of such persons and will do no acts to repress such persons or any of them in any efforts they may make for their actual freedom. Which being interpreted means, if you are part of the states that seceded from the Union,
mm-hmm.
I hereby declare all your slaves free, and our military force will enforce that freedom,
mm-hmm.
and maintain it, and will not repress any acts that the freed people may make for their actual freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So it only applied to the states that seceded from the Union, okay, not to the rest of the states. For example, Kentucky and I think Maryland were slave states.
Mm-hmm.
It did not apply to slaves in those two states.
Okay.
So it's just the second one, quoting again, that the executive will on the first day of January aforesaid, by proclamation, designated the states or parts of states, if any, in which the people thereof respectively shall then be in rebellion against the United States, and the fact that any state or the people thereof shall on be that day be in good faith represented in the Congress of the United States by members chosen thereto at elections wherein a majority of the qualified voters of such state shall have participated shall, in the absence of strong countervailing testimony, be deemed conclusive evidence that such state and the people thereof are not then in rebellion against the United States. Mm-hmm. You begin to understand why it's hard to get things through Congress when you look
mm-hmm.
at that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, if the president can decide which states are in rebellion, which states aren't.
Yeah.
It's kind of what that states. That's mm-hmm. a criteria mm-hmm. for that. Next paragraph. Now, therefore, I, Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, by virtue of the power in me vested as Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy of the United States in time of actual armed rebellion against that authority and government of the United States, and as a fit and necessary war measure for suppressing said rebellion, do on this 1st of January in the year of our Lord, 1863, in accordance with my purpose to do so publicly proclaim for the full period of 100 days, from the day first above mentioned, order and designate the states and parts of states wherein the people thereof in this day are in rebellion against the United States, the following to it. All of that to say, I'm the president, I'm saying these are the areas that the proclamation mm-hmm. applies to and doesn't mm-hmm. apply to. Mm-hmm. These are the areas where the proclamation, Emancipation Proclamation applies. Arkansas, Texas, Louisiana, except for the parishes of St. Bernard, Plaquemine, Jefferson, St. John, and he goes on lists about half a dozen, let's say more than that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 in the city of New York. 12 parishes in the city of New Orleans are exempt from the Emancipation Proclamation.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia, except the 48 counties designated as West Virginia, and also the counties of Berkeley, Accomack, Northampton, Elizabeth City, York, Princess Anne, and Norfolk, including the cities of Norfolk and Portsmouth, which accepted parts are for the present, left precisely as if this proclamation was not issued. In other words, if you look at the map in that time, those are the areas that were under federal control.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were in a part of the secessionist state, mm-hmm. and that area was under federal control, the Emancipation Proclamation did not apply to you.
Mm-hmm.
Very peculiar. And by virtue of the power for the purpose aforesaid, I do order and declare that all persons held as slaves within said designated states and parts of states are and henceforth shall be free, and that the executive government of the United States, including the military and naval authorities thereof, will recognize and maintain the freedom of said persons. And I hereby enjoin upon the people so declared to be free to abstain from all violence, unless in necessary self-defense, and I'll recommend to them that in cases where allowed, they labor faithfully for reasonable wages. And I further declare and make known that such persons of suitable condition will be received into the armed services of the United States to garrison forts, positions, stations, and other places, and to man vessels of all sorts in said service. And upon this act, sincerely believed to be an act of justice warranted by the Constitution and upon military necessity, I invoke the considerate judgment of mankind and the gracious favor of Almighty God. In witness hereof, I have hereby set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed. Done in the city of Washington, first day of January, year of our Lord, 1863, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 87th, by the President Abraham Lincoln, William H. Seward, Secretary of State. Lots of fancy words. Basically, the Emancipation Proclamation didn't apply, for example, to Kentucky. Mm-hmm. It didn't apply to areas under federal control and only to areas that were the states that had seceded.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of curious. People say Lincoln freed the slaves. Actually, it was the constitutional amendment by Congress
mm-hmm.
that actually did the freedom. This is a propaganda move.
Mm-hmm.
And although he enjoined everybody to, you know, behave themselves and not, you know, cause trouble,
sure,
it wouldn't have bothered anybody if there'd been a rebellion mm-hmm. of the slaves. Mm-hmm. However, that didn't happen because, number one, they probably didn't tell the slaves that at the time. That's why we have the Juneteenth thing now.
Yeah.
And also, just because you're a slave doesn't mean you're silly or stupid.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you don't know how that war is going to end, if it ends in an armistice with two nations,
mm-hmm.
then you don't want to go on history of having been in rebellion against the government that mm-hmm. you're now under.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of waiting to see how this thing plans out. So just be careful when you say Lincoln freed the slaves with the Emancipation Proclamation, because if you read what it did, it only applied in areas where he had no control.
There you go.
So there we go. Not running President Lincoln down. He did some really good stuff.
No.
He did some really bad stuff,
like
most every president we've had.
Oh, yes.
And but just what he did, he didn't do.
There you go.
So, okay, so if you want to celebrate the Emancipation Proclamation in Kentucky, you probably ought to go to Tennessee to do it.
Okay. Let's get into Penn from
Let's do that.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Katie's, "My husband and I praise the Lord for this station. It plays all night in our home. Thank you for what you do." From a Clarksville listener, "God loves you guys, and so do I. Thank you for all you do." From Hopkinsville, "God bless you and thank you for your faithfulness in bringing us and so many King Jesus." And from Crofton, "I enjoy the station."
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Go. Hi, we're back. Okay.
Yeah, I was just waiting. I mean, I was just waiting for you there.
Yeah, I was looking at a couple of articles here. Well, you see a lot in the news about the situation in Gaza and the way it's being played. There's a lot of strange things going on. The United Nations is not letting a whole lot of food stuff go through from Israel because they want to distribute it themselves. But what happens is that Hamas hijacks the food, gives it to its warriors and stuff, then sells whatever's left at exorbitant prices to the to a lot of the people.
Oh, wow.
But there is, you know, we see a lot of the so-called starving children, but their parents seem quite well-fed. And they had one case where they had this supposedly starving child turned out to be one with a particular type of neurosurgical disease. And another one had cystic fibrosis, which is debilitating. And one was even a child from another country.
Oh, wow.
They were showing. So there's a lot of stuff going on with that.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that isn't happening is there's other things going around the world where Christians are being slaughtered, and you don't hear anything about it.
Oh, no.
And Michael Brown had an article that I'm going to share some from that I just found. I actually found it last night. Persecution of Christians in Africa. From the Democratic Republic of the Congo, used to be known as the Belgian Congo decades ago, Open Doors reports at least 40 Christians who had gathered for a nightly prayer vigil at a church were killed when suspected Islamist militants attacked the town. More than 21 people were shot dead inside and outside the church. At least three charred bodies, several houses burned, and they're continuing to go to see what else they can find. The bodies are, and the volunteers are going to bury them in a mass grave in a compound of one of the churches in that area. Turning the paper around, there are reports of Christians being abducted during the attack, others being killed in a nearby village. And this is part of a pattern throughout Africa, especially in Nigeria. Tens of thousands of Christians have been slaughtered since 2009. Well, we read the accounts of this, except we don't, because it doesn't make much news. And but what can we do? This, he points out, we should feel guilty if we're not suffering persecution like this. Well, no, not really. But there are those who say that, and so if we ignore it, then we don't have to feel guilty about it. Paul wrote, "I urge, first of all, petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness." That's in 1 Timothy 2. Saul of Tarsus encountered Jesus, became a passionate disciple. And then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and increased in numbers. We should be thankful for peaceful times and protection, but not become complacent and compromised. Be aware of what's going on. Be aware of the called the camel's nose in the tent. Then it's in his head, then it's his neck, then it's his front quarters. Next thing you know, the camel's in the tent and you're out in the desert.
Yep.
But and also helping to make other people aware of our brothers and sisters in Africa, and North Korea, China, India, places like that, where they are suffering for Jesus Christ. Let it be known. Find out the information. You can look with the Open Doors Ministry, for example, and several others. They can keep you posted. Mm-hmm. Voice of the Martyrs, Open Doors, the International Christian Concern, can provide you with ways that you can find out this information and get prayers going.
Yes.
I don't understand why God wants us to pray. He's omniscient. He can do anything he wants to do.
Absolutely.
He's powerful.
Yes.
But he said he wants us to pray. He wants us to be part of it,
part
of what he does. So pray for the families of the martyrs. Pray for their protection. Pray for righteousness in government. Pray that the government and the persecutors become under conviction and what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But just to remember, when you see this going on, it's not just in the Middle East area where there is, you know, persecution, there is danger, and they are your brothers and sisters in Christ being persecuted. And the first person to actually make a big public campaign on this was probably in the 80s, and it was a Jewish journalist.
Yeah.
And he was wondering why the Christian news services weren't making this known and making a big deal about the persecution and murder of Christians throughout the world. And so anyway, just keep that in mind, that we've got our brothers and sisters in Christ that are suffering throughout the world, and that we have it really good here.
We do.
And not to be complacent about it, and to be aware of what's going on, and of the inroads that the secular interests, by which I mean those who are anti-God, are making the inroads in many areas.
Mm-hmm.
And the teaching, for example, that... Well, just give a teaching of evolution as fact instead of a theory.
Mm-hmm.
Like a gazillion years ago when I was in school, this is the theory of evolution.
Yeah.
And we were taught the theory.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's a theory. Now they're being taught as a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not.
That's right.
So, anyway, just in connection with that, talking about the Middle East and the Hamas, we looked like for a while there, like there was going to be an agreement, and then suddenly there wasn't. And this article points, by Ben Shapiro, points out that Hamas understands the West better than the West understands Hamas. And it forces the suffering of its own people, maximizes, falsifies media coverage, then they will rehabilitate Hamas and grant its demands. And that seems to be what's going on. And every so often, you'll hear this, let's go with a two-state solution.
Mm-hmm.
To have a two-state solution, both sides have to want two states.
Mm.
Israel would settle for a two-state solution tomorrow or this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Hamas wants a one-state solution.
Mm-hmm.
And as I pointed out, I have seen the maps that Muslim countries have of the Middle East, and Israel is not on there. Jordan goes all the way to the ocean.
Yeah.
That's what they're talking about, from the river Jordan to the sea will be all Arab, all Muslim. United Nations, and he says it's become a front group for Hamas. They're talking about mass starvation instead of helping the aid get in, the United Nations refused to allow any aid accompanied by Israeli military, and the military was accompanying it to keep Hamas from looting it.
Mm-hmm.
So they, they had staged photographs that the German newspapers were publishing, and they had to present a retraction, but as you notice, when newspapers print retractions, it's always buried somewhere in the text. Mm-hmm. Not where it's not up front where the initial article was. There's the UK, France, and Canada have said they will agree with the support of creation of a Palestinian state. Interesting, France, United Kingdom, and Canada all have large radical Muslim minorities that they're trying to please.
Mm-hmm.
So this may be just a sound and fury signifying nothing. But it also helped scuttle the impending deal between Israel and Hamas, because it gave Hamas what it wanted, another nation. And as I pointed out last week, why don't we just take Great Britain and let it become the Palestinian state, move everybody there, because they've got their large Muslim population already.
Yeah.
Or to France, even more so. Got an article here I'm not going to read because I haven't pre-read it. Israel has more right to exist than France. You know. But you got to think, Israel history goes back to biblical times, and France doesn't.
That's true, very true.
So, anyway, so we seem like we're falling for the same sort of tricks over and over again when we do a lot of our negotiations, we assume that everybody thinks the way we do.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody is straightforward and everybody is not straightforward.
That's right.
And
way it goes.
We don't always bargain very well. But and also a lot of them think in terms of long term. I remember I mentioned this book I read back in the 50s called Protracted Conflict. It points out that a lot of our enemies, political and theological, think in terms of generations, and we think in terms of weeks and years.
Mm-hmm.
And we think we've won a battle or a campaign, therefore the war's over, so we just kick back our heels and relax. And the other folks just turn around and start waiting it out.
Yep.
So you need to be able to think in very long term.
Right.
I think it's long about time for Johnny and Friends.
It is. Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope.
Sharing Hope. I'm trying to get that name right. Still haven't done it yet.
You be all right.
I'm Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope, here on Missionary Radio. Well, once again, Johnny, we are tackling questions that our social media followers have posted for your response.
And I'd love this.
Hey, let's get right to it. It was Deb who posted, "What are your top verses that you quote to yourself when you're feeling especially down?"
Oh, Deb, when I get the blues, whatever causes me to feel down, I remember Romans 8, verse 32. "Since God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things along with him?" What saves me from feeling down, Deb, is rehearsing all that God has given me. He's given me life and peace and freedom, health, sunshine and beauty. Most of all, he's given me salvation. And Deb, if someone has rescued you from hell, that someone, that Jesus, is worthy of fighting for in your thoughts. And he helps me do that by his Spirit. And so, Deb, I hope you can see why Romans 8:32 is so important to me. It's all about Jesus. I could quote you other favorite verses, sure I could, that help when I feel down, but nothing beats fixing your thoughts on the cross and all that Christ has done and continues to do for both of us, right? Oh,
amen, Johnny. I love that. And Jesus is so worthy of fighting for when it comes to our thoughts.
Oh, yes.
It's part of the good fight, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is.
Well, all right, Johnny. Hey, recently we posted a video where you said in Luke chapter 9, Jesus says, "Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." And that rubs our intuition the wrong way. But Jesus is telling us to forget our life for his sake, to think of others first, to give generously, even when we don't have much. To step aside and let someone else take the credit when you did most of the work. To make Jesus famous, even when it makes you look bad. It's the way you lose your life for Jesus, isn't it, Johnny?
Yes, it is.
Well, now a listener named Beth heard all of that and she asks, "Johnny, I don't understand. Isn't it wrong for someone else to take credit when you've done the work? Isn't it right to say something? Please teach me more about this. I want to grow."
Oh, first, Beth, let me make a correction. I didn't suggest that you let someone else take the credit when you did all the work, although that's not such a bad idea. No, I said let others, maybe a coworker, a team member, let them take the credit when you did most of the work. So, Beth, let's say you and Shauna are working on a project, but you put in more effort because Shauna lacks a little skill. Now, it would be gracious of you to step out of the spotlight and invite Shauna to get the applause. And it would cultivate humility in your life. You'd be building up Shauna in the eyes of others rather than you basking in all the accolades. See, do you get it? And Shauna would certainly see you as a real Christian. So not caring about who gets the credit is behaving like Christ. You are conducting yourself like Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 tells you to. You are caring more about another's interest than your own. And this is just a small example of what it means to lose your life for the sake of Christ. That is, for the sake of love and generosity and humility in your own heart.
What a beautiful example. And Johnny, I'm just going to say what we're all thinking. You are a real Christian.
Oh.
Well, that session went way too fast. Thank you, Johnny. And hey, thank you, friends. Send us more questions at johnnyradio.org.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight. It's good to remember what stories you've told so they don't come back to haunt you. A young man's boss asked him, "Boy, do you believe in life after death?" "Yes, sir," the young man answered. The boss said, "Well, that's good, because about a half hour after you left yesterday to go to your grandfather's funeral, he came in to see you." 96% of Americans admit to lying. I find that rather amazing. The truth is, a lying tongue is disgusting to the Lord. He takes delight in those who tell the truth. Let's honor the Lord by always telling the truth. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's word in 60 seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
All I have to do is turn on the radio, and there is a song or message that applies to my situation.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
To exalt King Jesus, missionary radio.
Yeah, that guy's got a good tenor voice.
Oh, yeah.
He should think about doing this for a living.
You think so?
I think he could do. I think he'd do well, yeah.
I believe, yeah, he's had several recordings.
Got our James Montgomery Boyce devotional book we're going to be reading from this morning, and it's going to start off with probably the second or third most familiar scripture passage, mm-hmm. right behind Jesus wept and judge not that you be not judged.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead, John 3:16-21.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Did you say through the 21?
Yes.
Okay. For everyone practiced evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God.
All right. So we start off with a very familiar passage, and then we read some more that we don't always read. But we need to get things in full context whenever we get the opportunity. James Boyce writes, "One reason Jesus Christ is God's greatest gift to fallen man is that he is perfectly suited to the needs of fallen man. Nothing else or no one else is. So, what are the needs of man? What are your needs? Your first need is for a sure word from God, for knowledge of God. Jesus is the answer to that need, for Jesus alone who brings us the knowledge of who God is, what he is like, and what he desires for mankind. This is why Jesus is called the Word so many times in John's writings. Do you want to know what God is like? If so, do not spend your time reading the books of men. Do not think that you will find him by meditating. Look to Jesus Christ. Where will you find him? You will find him in the pages of the Bible. There you will find the strength, mercy, wisdom, and compassion that are the very essence of God's character. Well, don't read books men have written about Jesus to tell you what you're supposed to be searching for. Read the book itself. Mm-hmm. Read the Gospels.
Yes.
People say start off with the Gospel of John. I say start off with Mark because that's a short one.
Mm-hmm.
That'll give you an overview and then go on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not original. I stole that from, I think, Manfred George Gutsky.
Okay.
Anyway. Second need, great need, is for a Savior. We do not merely have a need for sure knowledge. We have knowledge of many things, but we are unable to live up to our knowledge. I've got a little thing, motto stuck up, says, half of being smart is knowing what you're dumb at. You know, knowing about something is not the same as knowing something.
Mm-hmm.
We have knowledge of many things, but we're unable to live up to that knowledge because we are sinners. Consequently, we not only need a sure word from God, we need a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. He died to save you from sin and from yourself. Big question, do you know him as your Savior? And finally, we have those needs that are part and parcel of living a finite, sinful life. Psychiatrist Eric Fromm suggests that man is confronted with three dilemmas. The first is a dilemma of life versus death. We want to live, but we all die. Jesus is the answer to that problem, for he gives eternal life to all who believe in him. That's in John 11, if you want to look it up. The second of Fromm's dilemmas is the dilemma of the individual and the group. Jesus answers that problem too, because he has come to break down all walls and to make of his followers one new man, which is his mystical body, Ephesians 2. And the last of Eric Fromm's dilemmas is the one arising from a conflict between our aspirations, our hopes, and our actual achievements. We fall short of what we would like to be and what we believe ourselves intended to be. Jesus promises to make us all that God created us to be in the first place. We are to be conformed to Christ's image, Romans 8. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest gift that God has ever offered or could ever offer to the human race. Are you indifferent, or do you respond to the offer, joining the millions of others who have believed in Christ with all their heart and mind, and who now say, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift? God's greatest gift is the gift of life, it's the gift of hope, it's the gift of accomplishment, it's the gift of fulfillment. We think, you know, I deserve better than that, I could do better than that, I should be better than this. And something has blocked me. You usually try to blame an external thing. You know, so-and-so got promoted and I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, so-and-so got the part in the play that I wanted. I could do a better job. Somebody should recognize me. I've only gotten to this far and I could really do better. I should get recognized. I should get the promotion. I should get, you know. Because we do have that desire for something more.
Yeah.
And we are told by the world that we're going to do self-actualization. That was a big word back in the 60s or so.
That's a big word.
Yeah, self-actualization. Well, I think they made it up because it's the idea of, you know, you become the self you want to be and, you know, set your goals. And we're told to set a goal that's beyond your reach, so you'll always be reaching for it. Well, if you're always reaching for something you can't get to, then, you know, you fall short. Then you feel a failure. We'll fall short of the glory of God, which we're supposed to reach toward. But for the everyday world, we've got to realize, oh, do something, get good at doing that. Then maybe you can move on. But you've got to you got to match our actual skills.
Yes.
You know, I always admire well-maintained machinery and good carpentry work. I do not have skills in that area.
Yeah.
But I enjoy looking at it, watching it being done.
Yeah.
You know, and appreciating that. And we look at the very different things. So, well, you know, I could have done this, I could have done that. A lot of times that's true.
Yeah.
But there's not enough time in one lifetime to do all that we need, that we could and possibly able to do.
That's right.
But our overall goal needs to be thinking in terms of eternity.
Yes.
And eternity is a very long time. Hell is a very bad place. Don't go there.
Right.
And that is the ultimate thing that stares us in the face, is that we will all die. You always got to put in unless the Lord comes back first. Maybe it's going to come back just for you, too. So yeah,
that's right.
There's that.
That's right.
And after death, the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we are followers of Jesus Christ, that judgment is going to be really bad news.
Yes, it is.
Because if sinless perfection is our assigned goal, which we cannot achieve of ourselves, but the righteousness of Christ and his perfection is available to us through Jesus Christ, God made that way. We read in a couple of places in Psalms 5:5 that God is, let's see, God hates all workers of iniquity, not just the iniquity, but the workers of iniquity. And I think in 7:11 or 7:14 Psalm, that he says, you know, God is angry with the wicked every day. But the thing is, he made a way for us not to be wicked so he doesn't have to be angry with us.
That's right.
He's so angry he doesn't want to be angry with us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's provided a way out with the righteousness of Christ. So God's greatest gift is to provide us a way to live, spend eternity in heaven with him. However that's going to be, it's going to be better than anything we can imagine.
Absolutely.
Anything we can ask or think or imagine. You know, the song I Can Only Imagine is a very good song if you think about it. What are we going to do? Well, you know, first thing I think we'll just soon go, wow, I'm here.
I'm here. That's right.
But with the joy. But we have to face, our ultimate goal is to spend eternity in the presence of God.
Yeah.
In the presence of Jesus Christ, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And to do that is almost too simple.
Yeah, it is.
Just to acknowledge that we're sinners, confess that to God, mm-hmm. and realize that, ask Jesus to save us.
Mm-hmm.
Believe that his sacrifice was for the purpose of atoning for all of our sin to
yes.
make a path, that we believe and accept that that yes. was done for us, even though it was 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It applies to us because he was God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He was God.
Yeah.
How does all that work? We don't know. We don't understand, you know, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. But it's there. It's all through Scripture.
It is.
It's one of these incomprehensible things. You know, mm-hmm. many, many books have been written trying to explain it in mm-hmm. terms humans can understand, and some things are beyond our understanding. I think that's wonderful to have a God that's beyond our understanding.
Absolutely.
Especially when we've got so much evidence that this mm-hmm. incomprehensible God cares about us individually,
yeah.
knows us individually.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how can that be? Because he's God.
He's God, yeah.
He always has been.
Always
we,
will be.
We do the, you know, God is good all the time God is good, but mm-hmm. that's the variation
mm-hmm.
on that.
Yeah.
God is good all the time God is God.
That's right.
And that's even better.
Amen.
So work on that one for a little bit. You know, we talk you know, on the front porch about different things going on in the world. Well, we need to know and be aware of that and,
yes.
and things to think about, things to pray about, mm-hmm. contradictions, things to watch out for. To be aware that we get so distracted in so many areas, like at high school, it's mm-hmm. so concerned that they can't have a male King Kamehameha as their mascot, so they're going to have a gender-free wolf.
Yeah.
The warrior. They can keep mm-hmm. warrior for some reason mm-hmm. right now. They may change that later.
Mm-hmm.
But we get so wrapped up in minutiae.
We do.
A little bit of nitpicky things. We miss the greatness of God and his great love for us and his provision
yeah.
for
yeah.
us. To make a way to spend our eternity in mm-hmm. inexpressible joy and delight.
Yes.
So work on that one a little bit. In the meantime, we've got the news coming up, so this will add some to your prayer list, which is kind of what it does.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord willing, we will be back again in a couple of weeks. I think we're back on schedule for a while there with Jim and Mike.
All right.
And appreciate you sharing the time with us. And just a quick reminder.
All right,
the reason
good.
We can do this is because you support us with your prayers
right.
and your funds. So please
right.
keep us on the air. God bless.
God bless. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.